Well, I try to make these broadcasts timeless, my friends, you know, so that they're not tied to any historical event, but I just cannot resist telling you that I spent the morning in my bathrobe and listening to my recording, my BBC recordings of Will and Kate's wedding. Oh, boy, it was very lovely. Reminds me of the time that one day we will all worship the King of Kings in something infinitely more glorious than that. But it was good. I don't know. Where's my fish and chips? Anyway, hello, everybody. In spite of what you've just heard, this is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women who struggle. Who struggle with their humanity, who struggle with just their internal thoughts or feelings, who struggle with their behaviors, maybe in addictions. We want to know how to train our faith in who Christ is, the King of Kings, what he has done for us, and what God has done in him for us, and how we train our faith. Now we're in Romans here, and Paul comes to this wonderful place where he says that, therefore, it was counted to Abraham for righteousness, or accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, as I've said before, Paul is not simply using Abraham as an illustration. Paul is talking about the historic foundations of the people of God. How did they come about? By a law covenant by which they performed perfectly in accordance with all of God's laws so that they were then the special people? Or by the mercy of God who extended grace to them so that he could extend it through them to all the world. The latter, of course. And he's showing how Abraham started this whole thing, or rather, God started with Abraham. Was it after he kept the law for a while? Was it after he proved worthy? Was it after circumcision? Was it after being given the law? No, all the law came later. And circumcision was given later. Abraham was told that God would bless him. All families of the earth would be blessed in his seed. And Abraham believed this generosity of God. That was without the law. And therefore, Paul says, it is written for our sakes, not just for him, because we learn through Abraham how God deals with the human race. Now it was not written, he said, for his sake alone to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus up, Jesus our Lord, from the dead. But you say, Colin, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, how come Paul uses the life of Abraham to talk about our being imputed with righteousness by trusting in Jesus? No, my friend, it's not a stretch at all. Don't you understand that the promise to Abraham that in his seed all families of the earth would be blessed was a promise about Christ? Why wouldn't God simply say, in you, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed? No, it wasn't in Abraham that all families of the earth shall be blessed. But in his seed, you see, and that seed was Christ to come. Remember what imputed means. To be imputed with something is to be charged as if it were yours. When someone drops $1 million into your account, that money is imputed to you as yours. It isn't yours. It wasn't yours. It was a gift. You didn't earn it. You do not intrinsically own it. It was charged to your account. Our Heavenly Father has charged his love to us, charged his righteousness to us. He has said, in effect, these people are wicked and broken down, but I am going to treat them as if they were righteous, so that I might bless them. That's the generosity and the goodness of God. Now you see, look, he says in verse 24, but also, now let's take 23 for connection. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. This is why it is not a stretch. First of all, the child that Abraham got was a miracle child. It did not come through his potency. He was as good as dead. God waited long enough for that, and then he gave him this miracle child. Secondly, remember, he almost took that child away by asking Abraham to sacrifice him, and then at the moment that Abraham was about to plunge the knife into him, the angel said, Abraham, stop, don't do it. And then Abraham sees a lamb caught in the thicket, and he sacrificed the lamb, and it says specifically, in the stead of his son, in place of his son. So you see, in that one account, there was Abraham's son, a type of the sacrifice of Christ, and there was the lamb, a type of the sacrifice of Christ, in the place of Abraham's son. It's awesome. It's wonderful. This is no stretch. This teaches us, by the way, how to understand so much of the Old Testament. It is not symbolic. It is typological. Notice the difference. A symbol is a story that did not necessarily take place in history, but a story that is symbolic of something else. That's not what this is. A type, on the other hand, is an account of an historical event that had wider, more far-reaching implications as a type of something else. And so we see that the story, the account, the historical account of Abraham was how God was about to deal with the world in his mercy and his grace. And the story or the account of his son, born as a miracle child and then nearly sacrificed but delivered by means of a lamb, that also was a type of the Christ to come. Now, that's all very theological. What do you and I do with it? My dear friend, we have to see that we are children of Abraham. Who are the children of Abraham? The children of Abraham, my friend, are those who have the faith of Abraham. Paul makes that very clear in chapter 4, even clearer in chapter 9, where he says in verse 8, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of the promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a child. So you see, my friend, you are a child of the promise as you trust in the generosity of God. Now, you may not understand all the implications of the death and resurrection of Jesus, how the death of Christ is counted to us and we are counted in his resurrection as righteous. Many of the New Testament people did not fully understand the atonement of Christ and what is imputed righteousness. What they did understand was that God, that is those who believed, was generous. He had come in Christ and he was healing people and feeding people and raising the dead and coming among them to comfort them and to strengthen them and to tell them, I am your God. Now, you may have difficulties with addictions, with obsessive thoughts, with compulsive behaviors, with strange feelings within you, with struggles with unbelief, with circumstances of life that make you feel alien to God. And you may feel that God is not generous towards you, God is only a judge, and God is on the verge of casting you out at the next provocation. And thus you slink away into your hole. And there's no help for you in the addiction struggle. You say, I've gone far enough. I think I've overdone it. God has pulled away his grace. My friend, I tell you this moment that God is generous towards you. Believe it. Believe it. Receive it. Receive the generosity of God as Abraham received it. Come, I will take you to another country and make of you a great nation, and in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. Why, this man didn't even know he could have a child. Now, you see, you have a destiny, and your addictive struggle has virtually killed that destiny. Or so you think. It has dampened your hopes and your dreams. It has made you slink back into the trivial. Your large, expansive dreams are a thing of the past. So you think. I say to you, start believing in the wideness of God's mercy, in the generosity of our Heavenly Father, in the bigness and magnanimity of God towards sinners. God justifies, that is, declares innocent, the wicked, not the righteous, not the perfect, not the overcomers, but the wicked who trust in his generosity. We believe that Jesus was raised up from the dead for us, because he was delivered up for our offenses and raised up for our justification. Do you see that in verse 25? He was killed for our offenses, so that in his death all our sins are completely wiped out. And then he was raised up to declare us innocent, because when Christ rose from the dead, he did so because death had no right over him. And that resurrection was on your behalf, so that when it is counted to you, death has no right over you either, nor condemnation nor sin. And so, my friend, there's a new buoyancy that comes to us in this. Let us thank, let us praise, let us believe in God's generosity and see how you go forward. Now, it's going to be a lousy day tomorrow, my friends, but I'm only talking about the weather. Inside La Quinta Inn at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's going to be a great day because we're doing a seminar, and I urge you to bundle up and ignore the rain and just get over there to La Quinta Inn at 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Exploring how we grow. You're going to learn a lot about yourself tomorrow, my friend. Some of you, some of us, have got to a certain age where we think, have I really grown? How can I change more? And why didn't I change more than this in the first place? We're going to explore the forces of change that shape our life, the differences between unconscious and conscious change. We're going to look at developmental phases and how we pass through them and how we stop and get stuck in some of them because of wounds in childhood and how to start that developmental process up again. We're going to talk about arrested growth. Well, I just mentioned that. And change versus faith alone without works. You will learn to, you will understand so much more about yourself tomorrow, my friend. Exploring how we grow. Come at 10 to 9 if you can and get a seat, a coffee, and warm your the cockles of your heart, as we say in England, or an orange juice if you want. 9 o'clock till 3:30, there'll be a break for lunch. La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue, Lakewood. That's the south frontage road of West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Now, admission is by donation. $70 to $110 is recommended. But hey, don't let that trouble you. If you can't afford it, turn up. Even if you can't pay anything, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to record what you pay. It's all anonymous and all that stuff. So, I look forward to seeing you there. I look forward to seeing regular faces and new faces. Look, on a rainy day, what else can you do? Come to a boring seminar and get lifted up. I'll see you then, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.